safe? For those of you who have been around, some of this beginning will be familiar to you. For those of you who are relatively new to Assembly, you should know that for the first 25 years of Assembly's life, we did not have a pastoral team. Leadership was in the hands of elders, some paid, some not paid, very part-time paid staff at that point. After 25 years, the leadership of the congregation proposed, and the congregation was affirmative, of naming and calling a pastoral team for the first time. Mary and I started on that pastoral team early in the year in 1998. Mary had been pastoral elder before that, so in a leadership role in that role, but a team was something new for us. We wanted a team of three. We didn't want it to be all women. So we got a token male. So the search committee had planned to meet with Carl, who was the candidate of that rose to the top, and Mary and I were not part of that interview, but being the ones that would need to work with this new person, we felt it was important for us early on to meet Carl, and so we want to begin with a few early impressions of that time. Brace yourself. So it was the time at work to meet was a Sunday afternoon evening, not dinner time, and so we met at Bob Evans. Now you may ask the question, why Bob Evans? Back then there weren't many restaurants open on Sunday afternoon evening in Goshen, so it was Bob Evans. And Mary remembers that we ate blueberry muffins. Do you remember that?
Significant. I did not take a picture.
That was before cell phones, for us anyway.
Yes.
So some of our first impressions of Carl was that he was earnest. I mean, deeply earnest. And also that he was good looking and young.
We sensed immediately his deep commitment to following Christ. Did you say earnest?
Mm-hmm.
Good looking?
Mm-hmm.
And young. We felt immediately that Carl would be a good fit for Assembly. He had a vision for what and how church can be a vital organism. We saw his concern for social justice as central to the gospel, not simply peripheral. We saw his interest in small groups as central to the life of the congregation. We were excited about that.
And as the months progressed, sometimes Mary and I would talk after when Carl wasn't there.
It's true.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I mean, we had a head start on this pastoral team thing, so. But one of the genuine questions we ask ourselves was, so Carl is a great attorney, activist, advocate. He certainly has a prophetic voice. The question we wondered about was, would he become a pastor? Was that there?
Friends?
Yes. What do you think?
Yes.
There were a couple of significant pastoral team moments in those early years that I think is worth remembering and noting and celebrating. I remember in one of the pastoral team meetings, Monday morning we gathered every time for a long pastoral team meeting. And one of the discussions, Carl raised a question about how the children of the congregation could feel involved and be more involved in the life of the congregation. We had the privilege as a child already, so the children have a special place in our hearts. But Carl was saying, how can we more functionally make them feel included in the life of the congregation? Do you remember that?
I'll say yes.
And the truth is, there were very few children in the congregation at that point, if you can believe that.
So out of that conversation grew the first ice cream visit for children. And your son, Lucas, was the very first one I took out for ice cream. Do you want to do that?
I thought it was this.
Okay. We made some discoveries along the way. I observed quite early on that Carl did not drink coffee. Lois had a little coffee pot in the church office. She and I regularly drank coffee. I noticed that Carl did not. This is 20 years ago. There were not a lot of fair trade beans to be purchased. And I knew that there were issues around the laborers who tended and harvested coffee. And I thought, Carl does not drink coffee out of his concern for social justice. And I felt very guilty about this because I did drink coffee. And I thought, this man has a more prophetic voice than I have. You know, there was the great boycott and the coffee boycott. And then after some months, I discovered that Carl doesn't like coffee. And Michelle doesn't like coffee. And what a great pair they are. And I felt much better.
So another discovery, which we were happy to, Mary and I were happy to discover early on, is how much fun Carl was for the pastoral team and for the congregation. And during that time, our overseer, or alongside seer, as we tend to call them here, another pastor from another congregation who sat with us and met with the elders once a year, one of the questions Duane Beck asked us is, do the three of you enjoy working together? Do you enjoy it? And the answer definitely was yes.
Yes.
And Carl and Duane's response then was, if that's so, then make sure the elders and the congregation know. And so I think those of you around back then figured that out pretty early on, too.
Another gift that Carl brought to the pastoral team went by the acronym PIT, PIT. We met on Monday mornings. We always began with a time of centering, focusing, prayer. But early on, Carl brought this PIT approach to us. I think it came from the MCC Washington office.
I think it came from Carolyn Trukshank.
Okay. Either way. Carl thinks that it came from Carolyn Trukshank. PIT. Is Carolyn here?
Yes.
Yes. Well, this brought an approach to our collaborative work that has remained through the various incarnations of the pastoral team. The P is personal. Each week we brought what in our personal lives is impacting our work in the week ahead. What are we celebrating? What are we distracted by? What do we need to know? The I is the interpersonal, and that's what's going on between us as a team. Where in the last week have I felt that I got my toes stepped on? Where did a comment that you made undermine something that I felt I was doing? Where did someone inappropriately direct something to me that should have been directed to you? That space for the I each week deepened trust among us and grew our life together as a team. And the T was tasks. Because we each had job descriptions, it was important to know who was working at their particular tasks and what tasks we would be collaborating on. Look for an email from me later in the week. I need a response from that. We're working at this together. So clarifying the tasks. We had no team leader, although we were told teams have to have a leader. We knew that the congregation supported this approach, And we knew that Carl, as a man, had no illusions that he would be the obvious leader of the team.
Your face is getting red. One of the things that helped us as a team early on, Carl started September 1, and in September already, we had an offer from Dennis Cohn, who was one of the elders, that he would give us, administer for us, the Myers-Briggs personality assessment, and then sit with us to talk about our strengths, our weaknesses as a team, and how we would best function as a team, and what would be the possible pitfalls. That proved to be enormously helpful as we started out as a team, to have that insight into each other's personalities, where our strengths and weaknesses were.
We have long sensed, as I'm sure you have, God's leading in bringing Carl to assembly. Sometimes when we move ahead in a direction, we are given a sign, a confirmation that this is the right thing to do. Sometimes we call that a fleece, based on the Old Testament story. Sometimes we simply have to move ahead on faith without a sign. Carl has a fish story to tell, but that is his. I will simply tell you that the Eastertide Sunday that Carl preached his candidating sermon, his shirt perfectly matched the banner. Though it may have never happened again, that was the sign that I needed.
And we invite Paul Keim to come up to contribute to this as well.
A canticle for Carl. In recognition and celebration of 20 years of ministry at Assembly Mennonite Church. They said, keep it short, keep it sweet, keep it focused and clean. Compact and intense like espressoed caffeine. Make us laugh, make us cry, make us stand up and shout. Help us celebrate Carlness. But don't drag it out. I said, I can do brevity. I can be terse. I can package it all in a pithy little verse. So let me say simply for all in the room, well done, Pastor Carl. Bada bing, bada boom. Under normal conditions, that would surely suffice me and express our appreciative spirit quite nicely. But 2 decades of service at Assembly demand a more substantive song for this beautiful man, whom we have called pastor and teacher and friend, who's proven his loyalty time and again, who preaches the Bible, or at least the New Testament, who bears all our burdens with appropriate sentiment. In fulfilling his duties, he burns every calorie, doing full-time work on a part-time salary. Though trained as a lawyer and well-known at the bar, Just Peace was his passion and bright guiding star. He pursued his dream job for the MCC with the zeal of the prophet in the heart of D.C. When oppressors oppressed, he confronted and fought him. He was the Mennonite menace of Foggy Bottom. But the Lord, she works in mysterious ways. In the midst of his bliss, she was counting his days. Michelle said, what's wrong, Carl? You don't seem too giddy. He said, God's called me away to another great city. I could imagine a career in Christian dentistry, but she's called me to move into pastoral ministry. Far be it from Carl to ignore God's command, so they packed up the truck and came straight to this land. He took up his post in the leadership stream as the token non-female on a top-notch team. What he lacked in experience, he made up for with charm. He took as his motto, first, do no harm. With 2 steps forward and 1 step back, He soon found his voice and was right on track. But who could have guessed after 20-odd years, only Carl would remain of those pastoral peers. He has nurtured our vital community life, works closely with reps to avert any strife. Once every year, he assembles the troops and shuffles the heck out of all the small groups. With Carl's help, we've balanced the quos and the quids, and assembly is blessed now with hundreds of kids. Carl's passion for justice was never just talk. He stood with the vulnerable and walked the walk. Though our conference officials were not amused, when threatened with sanctions, Carl's confidence oozed. With his job put in jeopardy by censorious adults, he used pies to get reconciled, with mixed results. Nonetheless, dressed in standard non-clerical garb, he conducted the wedding of Wilma and Barb. There are many more things that could fill this report, but these only were mentioned just to keep the thing short. So now, join me in offering kudos and thanks for this milestone of ministry in our own humble ranks. You faithfully served us the length of a score, and we hope, Carl, you'll stay at least 20 years more. When your pastoring days finally come to an end, you can walk with us further as colleague and friend.
It's true, I have now pastored at Assembly for 20 years, which is the equivalent of 115 dog years, 400 hamster years, or 7 Assembly sexuality series. I certainly didn't see this longevity coming, because 21 years ago, I was sure of 2 things about my future. One, that I'd be living in a big, vibrant city, preferably with mountains on the horizon. And 2, that pastoring was not one of my vocational options. And yet, here I am, a little bewildered, but surprisingly grateful for this not-so-simple twist of fate. Grateful because the journey has repeatedly led me to holy ground and the company of saints. Grateful for having been formed in this work by 2 strong, faithful women, Mary Lehman Yoder and Lois Kaufman. Grateful for having been carried through the hardest, most painful days of my work by 2 incredibly gifted short-term pastors, Bethany Swope and Carmen Horst. Grateful for having been sustained during the recent understaffed years by my fearless and dear colleagues, Lauren Assinger and Tom Kaufman. And forever grateful for each day of that all-too-short 3.5 years working alongside my dear, spirited friend, Heidi Seaman Rhodes. In these 20 years, I have been honored to strategize in ministry teams with major prophets of God's justice like Lois Nafsinger and J.R. Burkholder, to organize community anti-war vigils with Carolyn Schrock-Shank, to march in New York City for climate justice with Dave Ostergren and Steve Shantz, to get arrested for praying for peace in the U.S. Capitol with Ben Byler. I've been privileged to baptize your youth, to hold your newborn children, some full of life, some not. I got to officiate at your weddings, some blessed by the institutional church, some not. I got to work alongside powerful advocates for inclusion and with Keith Graber Miller defend its cause at a hearing to remove my credentials, and then offer the gift of homemade pies made by Josh Schrock and others of you to the committee deciding my fate. I've gotten to bless your bicycles, ash your foreheads, offer you the bread of life, hear your private confessions of some of the most painful things you've faced. And you, sometimes collectively, sometimes individually, have heard and tended my pain and struggles as well. My list of grateful reflections is long, and they clearly point to part of why I'm still here 20 years later. But perhaps the fundamental reason may be because when the night is dark and humankind seems bent on ever greater spasms of cruelty and injustice and indifference. I want nothing more than a community of those who pray, comfort, nurture, love, resist, and act boldly together. A Yahweh-seeking, gospel-preaching, Jesus-following band of progressive and compassionate Christians. That is where my hope lies. And that's why I'm grateful for having been in this role for now 20 years, and it's with love in my heart that I thank you for this ongoing privilege. Amen.